Welcome to the Inflow Experience Podcast, the only podcast where you'll hear from contact center and customer experience experts about their roles, their lives, and everything in between. I'm Austin Culp, Manager of Customer Success at Inflow CX. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How's it
going?
Hey,
good. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining me today. Hope you had a great weekend. Can you believe we're in the end of August already?
In software, they say dog years, but it's been that way for a long time now, but it's good. It's fast and it's good.
Absolutely. Hey, better than the alternative. That's what I always say. Great. Well, hey, Paul, again, thank you so much for joining us today. I always like to start these off with a little introduction to our guests and do it a little bit differently, maybe than some other podcasts or interviews you've been on. But I always like to ask people, what was your first job? When you think back on your career, what was your first role, and what did you learn from it maybe that you carry with you today?
It's a first job is kind of relative. Like as a kid, I mowed a lot of lawns. I did a bunch of stuff like that. But I think my first real job when I was going to college was I was actually at a call center. I was a customer service representative for Franklin Quest or Franklin Covey. So back in the days of day planners and consulting, I was a customer service rep for them, handling different issues, upselling, cross-selling, basically working in a contact center.
Wow. That's great. We've had several contact center representatives on here too. It's kind of a common path. You get in and you figure out what else you can do and do it. That's a great story. When you think about the contact center space, Paul, as you guys know, as an innovator and a leader in the space, a lot has changed, especially over the last 5 years. And when you think about NICE CXone, what do you think has been one of the most impactful changes that you guys have seen over the last 5 years?
Well, Austin, it's been for us, we feel like we've been part of the change, right? And as you look at where the market's gone over the last 5 years, first of all, everybody 4 or 5 years ago was mostly a call center. It was mostly toll-free numbers, taking calls. The innovation of that moment was getting it offshore. How do I find additional agents that are less expensive? And and then really the changes came, which was the addition of digital, the addition of more sophisticated self-service, the addition of, just a different way of managing interactions. And frankly, there's lots of people out there right now some are kind of still at the call center moment, some are at the contact center moment, some are at the contact center plus self-service moment, and some are starting to move to more advanced interactions. And so, we feel like, with the, when we joined forces with NICE and through the acquisition, that we were able to take, a lot of different markets into one platform. And, and now we feel like we're kind of changing the market again, moving it from what I'll say traditional call center or contact center to really more of this experience center, this kind of future version of what customer experience needs to be.
Awesome. Yes, I totally agree. And I'm glad you mentioned, trends in the industry and NICE being a big part of that. I absolutely agree and see that. And I know our customers see that as well. What do you think are some of the main drivers of all those changes that you mentioned, from self-service to contact centers becoming more of an experience center?
I think that, for companies, they've got two big drivers. On one side, they're being asked to, more than ever before, to create a more personalized experience for their customer, right? It's got to be frictionless. It's got to be personal. It's got to be pleasant. It's got to be quick. And that's a lot to do, but what's made it harder is all of a sudden it's got to be on the channel that the consumer prefers. It's got to be done in a personal way. And then it has to be done within the inadequacies of the company's systems. And then it has to be done at a price point that the company can actually pay for. And so when you start to merge all that together, you know, the job of the traditional contact center leader or customer experience leader is pretty hard right now because they're having higher expectations than ever before to create an experience or a brand that helps people, you know, stay with them. And they have to do it at a cost that they've really never easily achieved. And what's happening now, Austin, is that I call it, we've really entered into what I call the reference economy. And what that means is that most of us are now selling our solutions. When I say us, consumers are buying from millions of companies, really based on references. And so we all go to our favorite reference place, whatever it is, Yelp or whatever, and we get third-party opinions on every company that we often do business with. And so, you know, what the internet is, or social media has actually done is it's created a place for us as consumers to really get third-party opinion without using the company as an intermediary, right? So all of a sudden, we can all get all these references from people we've never met immediately online, and we don't have to go anywhere other than just some simple place to get it. So it has put a lot of pressure on improving the experience, while at the same time, everybody's still got a cost model to hit.
Sure. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I totally agree with that. And, you know, you can look at it with anything, right? I mean, heck, buying a TV, you know, 10 years ago, you had to go to the store, talk to the sales rep, and figure out what was going to be best for you. And now you sit on your couch and, like you said, look at reviews and, you know, do your own research. And the same can be said about a lot of things. You know, one of the other things I always think about when we talk about the evolution of this space, especially recently, you know, to your point, you know, there used to be an old mantra, you know, good, fast, and cheap. You can pick two. Now people are saying, no, I want all three, you know, make it work. So I think that resonates well. You know, I know COVID and the pandemic changed a lot of things too. You know, do you see anything that you just talked about in terms of the emerging trends? Do you see demand for some of those things shifting up? Do you see it shifting down? Do you see it kind of remaining constant?
Well, so, you know, first of all, with COVID, there were certain people during the moments in COVID where they had to act quickly. They just needed to create a more virtual environment. They needed to create scale if their current systems couldn't handle the inflow or influx of new interactions, frankly. And so, you know, COVID created some immediacy that was needed to let's solve my problem now. And then as that, you know, is normalized a little bit, it also COVID froze some people from making decisions, right? You know, how's my business going to do? What's going to happen? And as COVID has kind of, you know, basically lingered now, people are starting to gain confidence of, okay, you know, I'm okay. I can invest in the future. I need to improve my customer experience. But then the second thing that's happened after COVID is this great resignation, which is, okay, I'm a company. I'm losing all my employees. How do I keep my customer experience model working when I have a lot of attrition? And so they're looking at more tools or technologies to help them effectively or efficiently manage those interactions when they have more turnover and it's harder to find people. And then you almost have a third piece now, which is now inflation, recession, whatever you want to call it, is, you know, how do I manage my P&L, you know, based on what could be continued inflation or recession or whatever. So I think when you really look at the market, you kind of have to go COVID, you know, the change in employment, and then this kind of inflation recession. And people are navigating through all three of those.
Yeah, they are. And you're right. They've stacked up. They've stacked upon each other, too. And, you know, it's there's no end in sight for a lot of them, right? Certainly, you know, we're past the peak of COVID, at least, right? And things are, this is kind of the way of the world now. And so I agree with your sentiment that people are starting to adjust. You know, one of the trends that we've talked about a little bit here, and one of the ways that I've seen contact centers deal with some of these, you know, struggles to hire, and one of the elements of labor strategy we've seen people take is automation, right? And self-service. And so, you know, one of the, I guess, kind of fears or something that I'll hear naysayers say sometimes is, well, look, there's always going to be a need for human interaction in CX. And that's absolutely true. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, how do you think organizations find a balance in, you know, efficiency through automation while also not removing that human element of your brand that, you know, people crave so much?
I think that you always need a human element. And I think the real question, Austin, isn't that is a human element good or necessary? It's what's the purpose of the agent? So for the agent to be, you know, the person that comes in with the warmth and the subject matter expertise and the information that's possible, that's a good thing, right? But when you have to use the agent as your traffic cop or your dispatcher to help, you know, your bad systems navigate your company, then that's not that efficient, right? And so you should be able to answer simple questions that come from the web or an app or other places with the right knowledge, with the right self-service tools. So you don't need an agent for that. And you should be able to help navigate your company with the right technology so that the agent doesn't become really the person that has to navigate your company for you. But then you should have the agent there at the right time, at the right place for the right interactions, the right conversations, the right experiences, and the right expertise when needed. So what we find is that you should use the agents at the right time and not make them there all the time because your technologies and your systems are siloed or broken or inadequate so that your agent has to take the rest of the work.
Sure. And, you know, I think that the impact of having that strategy is twofold, right? Number one, customers talk with an agent and have that, you know, human element of the brand when they need it and when they want it. And the other piece of that is, you know, you're giving your agents a little bit of a reprieve too, right? We've talked about turnover and making it hard to hire and retain talent in the contact center. And I think that automation can play a big part in making sure that, you know, your agents are doing the work that they're actually needed for, right?
So, you know, Austin, a good example of this is think of Uber for a second. You know, okay. With Uber, there's two parts to the process. There's find me a ride, right? And the finding part used to be a taxi with a dispatcher. You had to either hail one on the street or you had to call in and you had a dispatcher that had to find someone and you waited for a while and it hopefully came, right? So Uber took the dispatcher out of the model and just put it in the app, right? So all of a sudden you press a button, it automatically finds somebody, it tells you how far away they are, who they are, what their stars are, you know, their car, everything else instantly, right? So they automated what didn't need to be a human. But, you know, the moment that car drives up, there's a human in there, they're taking you somewhere, you can have a conversation, it can be personal, and off you go. And so when you think about that in the contact center context, it's the same thing, right? You do want those humans at the right time, but they shouldn't have to be that dispatcher.
Yeah, that's a really great analogy, Paul. I agree with that. That's awesome. I do want to switch gears for just a second. You know, I know that you all talk a lot about the importance of operational data, right? It's one thing that we see customers putting a big emphasis and a big focal point on, you know, especially when CX is such a main, you know, influencer on the business in general, you know, today. It's really critical for an organization to be able to make educated decisions. And, you know, with that in mind, what are some keys to ensure that, you know, your organization is measuring the right data and they're doing so effectively? There's so many things that you can look at, and it's almost like information overload oftentimes. And so, you know, how have you seen successful contact centers kind of prioritize what they should be looking at just to make sure they're looking at the right things?
Well, so there's lots of layers to that answer, but I'll give you a couple. And I think the first thing is the first thing you've got to really make sure you understand is what are your lagging KPIs? Is it CSAT? Is it revenue? Is it upsell, cross-sell? And once you've determined your lagging indicators, you then have to take the next step up, which is, okay, what are my leading indicators that determine the results of the lagging indicators, but that I can monitor them close to real time, right? So, So the first thing you ought to do is find the data that helps you drive leading indicators that affect lagging indicators. So that's number one. The second type of data that you also need is, what is the data that helps me make my reps better? You know, what data can I share with my reps to help them improve their process? So, you know, as you look at quality monitoring or other processes that can provide input or data back to the agent. One of the things that we do now is not only do we give them historical data, but we give them real-time data. We have tools now that will tell the agent real-time on the conversation, you're not showing enough empathy, you're over-talking, you need to slow down or you need to resolve this. We can help guide them along the process, and that's helpful. So there's real-time and there's historical data that helps the agent. The next thing is data that helps you to make decisions. You know, is the campaign working? Do we need to do something different? And so you can make decisions. Then the last kind of data, which most people don't have access to, and we have special tools to make this happen, is the unstructured data that helps you improve the system. So when you look at self-service, for example, you know, a lot of people don't know where you can get the right, you know, apply self-service to the right places to eliminate certain, you know, repetitive conversations. And then what intents are being used, what words, what processes. So we can actually go into all of your unstructured data, which is your recordings and your emails and chats. And we can go through all that and give you back the information you need to know, here's where I apply my self-service. Here's the words I use, here's the intents, here's the processes. And so we give you very good operational data that helps you to really improve the process. So that's a lot in two minutes, but that's what I would say to somebody looking at that problem.
Yeah, and you know, we talk with customers oftentimes about processes and people in the contact center. You know, technology is certainly one element, and technology can help you measure those other two factors that I mentioned. And it sounds like, you know, based on what you just said, that's obviously really critical, you know, to my CXone customers is, hey, technology is great, but let's make sure we're really getting the full picture and the full story here, because, you know, while we all love selling technology and talking about the next big thing, sometimes really, you know, digging up and uncovering what's really happening with your customers and the agents, what's happening in the agents day to day is the most impactful to the business.
Yeah, that's right. And that, you know, and knowing that and figuring it out and then getting to the right data is a big part of that.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, you know, one kind of final question that I like to always ask folks, before we wrap up is, we've talked a lot about where this industry has, what it's evolved from, where it's at today, talked about a lot of the present state, talked about, you know, what's important to contact center leaders, what's important to, you know, organizations and businesses. But if we look into our, you know, metaphorical crystal ball and you think about the next 5 years, you know, what do you anticipate being the most impactful change in the modern contact center?
Well, so first of all, I think that, you know, what's happening today is it's no longer about the contact center. You know, frankly, companies have tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands to millions of consumer needs events, you know, that they have to manage. And what we've learned is that most customers now are starting that experience at some kind of digital doorstep. Could be through a website or a Google search or a social media or an app on a phone, but about 80% of people are now starting there to talk with a company. And so what that does all of a sudden is it makes it so the call center or the contact center is really not the place anymore to manage that. And you have to have real intelligence and real AI that's sitting on the website, sitting in the app, sitting at Google, that starts to make that a really good, smart experience right from the start. And in some cases, it presents knowledge. It creates a bot experience. It's proactive. It brings it right to an agent. It does lots of things to manage these interactions. And then, as I mentioned before, it brings the right agent in at the right time when it's needed. And so I think that the thing that's going to happen to the contact center is it's not going to be the primary thing anymore on a company's strategy for interactions. It's going to be a piece of the solution. And if everybody just focuses on that piece, they're going to struggle to get the whole picture done.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's a really interesting point. And I think you're right. It goes back to a lot of things, but it goes back to the people and the processes. And I think that we're seeing it more and more, you know, with some of the solutions we're talking about, right? I mean, QM and kind of the analytics and data, and you're absolutely right. That doesn't just touch the contact center and the customer, but, you know, I see the use of that sort of technology for product teams, for marketing teams, and right, really for the business as a whole. And so I think what you're saying, and you keep me honest here, but is that it's not going to be just about the contact center, but the contact center is going to be a part of the larger equation going forward.
Yeah, and so for contact centers to be successful, they have to think beyond the contact center. They have to think about all of the interactions that a company is going to have, where they're going to have them, how they're going to have them, and how their tools and technologies make all that possible, and how the contact center fits within it, so that the customer then ends up having this really nice, personalized, seamless journey with or without the contact center, or with it, and it starts, and then it goes to the contact center, or, you know, it never touches the contact center. But all those journeys need to be first class. And those journeys have to be first class without always having to touch a human and without always having to touch a contact center. And so the intermixing of that process and understanding how all that works together is the new future.
Wow. Yeah, customer experience, not just in the contact center, but in everything that we do. That's really thoughtful and insightful. Thanks, Paul. It's been, believe it or not, it's already been almost 23, 24 minutes here. So we're coming up on the end. Before you go, I do want to just thank you, Paul, for taking the time to speak with us and join us, and, you know, for the great partnership we've got with NYCX1 here at InfloCX.
Well, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for the time, and have a great rest of your week.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul. You as well.
Thank you for listening to the Inflow Experience Podcast. If you like what we're doing and you want to hear more, consider subscribing. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or any other major podcast platform.